This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Morning, this is the Morning Run, Tuesday, 8th of January 2019. I'm Julian Ng, and together with me are my two lovely colleagues, Joyce Goh. Good morning.
Good morning, Julian.
Good morning, Sharitz
Abdullah. How are you guys this morning?
Not too bad, not too bad. Thanks, Julian. One of those good mornings. No problem with Grab coming to work. Nobody canceled on me. So, yeah, I consider that a good day.
Well, today we have a kind of transportation theme for the 6 a.m. stretch for some reason. And that ties in well with your nice experience this morning, Sharitz. What are we talking about this morning?
Well, for those of us who love to travel, I think that's quite a lot of people, we're going to be taking a look at the changing travel trends in 2019. And did you guys know that this year, there's actually 12 long weekends this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So you can start planning your holidays.
Looking forward
you should,
to that.
Yeah.
Right. And then, so the previous state government of Negeri Sembilan, they had approved 2 million to purchase new cars for official use, and they now plan to go ahead with it. So next, we're going to discuss whether government officials should be given public cars.
Okay, and also coming up next, inconsiderate commuting behaviors and train etiquette. And to take us there is the song When I Come Around by Green Day, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Walk Like a Man by Grand Funk Railroad. It's about 6:08 in the morning, and we're talking about Japanese pet peeves in public commute. Now, Japan has numerous train etiquette and guidelines, and people follow them religiously, most people. In spite of this, Japanese commuters still engage in behavior which makes their fellow passengers quite uncomfortable. So the Japan Private Railway Association has compiled a list of inconsiderate behaviors from almost 2,700 people. And the most shocking thing is that body odor doesn't feature in that list.
That's right. And I thought that would be featured at least at the top five.
At least once, right?
Yeah. And look, we've started in January where government started giving out the 100 ringgit unlimited pass. Yeah, unlimited pass for all the train services, LRT, MRT included. And since then, I think a lot of people have been jumping on board. I think it's an opportunity not to miss. And, you know, this is a lovely experience. I don't know if you guys have been to KL Central and just joining on the whole public commuting bandwagon. And I think all these things that's been written in this article, it's very relatable.
It's true, it's true. So what are some of the 10 on the list that are your pet peeves?
Well, some of it, I mean, for me, it's more of like people blocking the entrance.
Yep.
As you're trying to enter into the train or exit the train, that's a pet peeve of mine.
Not giving way. I mean, guys, why do you have to stand in front of the doors, right? The correct etiquette is to just stand by the side.
Mm. Also, in this case, if looking at the Japanese list, I think, I don't know, the Japanese, they are awesome, I must say. They're very considerate. You know, things like playing music loud enough through their headphones for others to hear, that's a pet peeve for them. And you actually see that on their trains, you know. There's a sign to say, please do not play your music loud enough, even if you're wearing headphones. So it's that kind of culture where if the train comes early, they apologize for it, you know, which is great because it's so different. Another thing for me when it comes to pet peeve, when it comes to public transportation, is when it's late.
Yep.
That's one thing that I don't like.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. But, you know, speaking about loud and listening on through your headphones, how loud can you listen to the point where someone next to you could even hear the music that you're listening?
Yeah.
You must be coming out deaf.
I have that kind of experience listening to other people's songs on their headphones. So I guess when you are in a kind of communal space, which is smaller, it's too close for comfort, right? For example, you know, a seemingly harmless thing like putting on your makeup, that's being frowned upon on the trains. Joyce, being the only female here, do you approve of this kind of behavior, like putting makeups not at home? I guess people want to save time, so they do it while they're commuting.
Yeah, no issue with that. I
no,
mean,
no
put
issues?
Your makeup wherever you want to.
It's kind of private. It's kind of personal.
Yeah. Really?
Like, it's like a look into somebody's personal life.
But if the girl wants to, or if the lady wants to, why not? I don't know. I don't think there should be a rule to that, whether or not you want to put makeup or not. But I guess, yeah, for the Japanese, it looks like they don't like that. They frown on it. Other things that they frown on as well is even talking in loud voices. And on the phone, I think you're not really encouraged to talk on the phone when you're in the public transportation. Right. Yeah, because of noise and all that.
Here are one or two points that resonate with me. Seating behavior, like... you know, what they call the man spread, right? A lot of people are man spreading on the MRT these days. Look, there are at least two or three seats there. You should make way for people. And the way you carry your backpack is something that can be annoying as well if it bumps into other people's face. And the other one that I, which is not on this list, which I kind of like take offense with, is when during crowded and peak hours, people rest on the pole, right? The pole is for you to hang on to, but these folks who just put their entire body there, preventing all the other passengers from holding on to something.
And this is despite the capacity in the train, despite the number of people in the train. Huh? That's weird. But anyway, relating to the makeup, there's also number 10, which is eating food in crowded trains. I would have thought that eating food would be on top of the list as well because of the smell. It's just a lot of sensory overload when it comes to, when you start eating in the train. But it's all about multitasking. I don't know if I disapprove about putting makeup on and eating in the train.
I think when it comes to eating, for me, it's more of our cleanliness. Mm. Whether or not the crumbs will fall and whether or not they'll dispose the wrappers and all that. I mean, appropriately, it's also another question. So maybe you could drink water, to me, but eating sometimes, maybe wait till you get off.
Well, the MRT in Malaysia prohibits eating and drinking. I guess in Japan, the commutes are much longer, 2-3 hours, and people should be allowed to have some kind of nourishment. There's this other article in the Echo as well, 11 things that you can relate to if you travel by a train. And what resonates with me, strategic choosing of the platforms, to save some time and to make sure that you get some seats, which door do you go to. So some of the very interesting stuff when riding on trains. Now, we'll be looking at other travel-related themes coming up next, including the trends of travel in 2019. And if you've got anything to say to us, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be coming back with more after this. BFM 89.9. Hey, hey, my, Into the Black by Neil Young, BFM 89.9. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Julian Ng, together with Joyce Goh and Sharids Abdullah. And we're talking about trends here. So if you've got anything to say to us or if you want to be part of the conversation, do WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, one of the massive travel trends in the last decade is the idea of no frills travel. So we've come into ideas like AirAsia and cheap airlines and Airbnb and so on, where the focus is on the experience and not really spending too much money on your flight tickets and so on. However, there is an article from the South China Morning Post, which predicts new travel trends for 2019. One of these trends is that the added extras of flying will go into mainstream airlines, like the full-service airlines. So if you want to carry your very heavy luggage, I think the allowance right now is about 20 kilograms for the full-service airlines. Apparently, the main airlines will start charging for that.
Oh, okay. So it looks like it's more of a business model that's like no frills, long haul fares, looking like means what? No luggage, no assigned seats. If you pay for assigned seats for some of the mainstream airlines, you have to pay extra. It's no longer last time where you buy a ticket and it's factored into your ticket. Also, I think, Julian, another on the rise trend this year is what they're predicting is going solo will grow. Going on a holiday on your own, that's going to grow this year. That's what you're seeing. That's even adventure travel that's on the rise. And within that, this bigger trend of going on a holiday on your own is rising. But for me personally, I can't go on a holiday on my own. I need to go with friends or family.
You need to share the experience.
Yeah, but I know some who actually really enjoy that. saying that it's really fun.
Okay, well, yeah, I've never
Can you
done
guys
that.
Go on a holiday?
Yeah, I've done it before.
Did you enjoy it or do you prefer
with friends? Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. You get a bit lonely at the end, but it's totally doable.
Well, yeah, you can, you know, there's also that experience of meeting new people, you know, that's something to consider. One thing about this article as well is about visiting places where it's been overcrowded. We've spoken about over-tourism once upon a time. So now there's also last chance tourism trend where it's instead of speaking about 100 places to see before you die, now these are going to be the 100 places to see before they die. So
yes, so it's a big change. I think the climate change factor is becoming such a big issue. Like, for example, I think 10 years ago or more than 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, I went to the Great Barrier Reef in Australia and it was beautiful and it was the very reasonable pricing, a meal included, you know, and I really enjoyed myself. And in the last few years, when one of my friends went, he said that, you know, the reef is almost completely dead. So I think the environmental factor is very much playing into some of these travel trends. One of the thing that the article is saying is that travel brands will start to clean up their act because of the environment factors. For example, single-use cutlery in planes will be a thing of the past because people frown on this kind of thing right now.
Yeah, what you're saying as well is choosing a holiday company with an environmental policy that's core to their business. That's also something that people might look forward to as they travel moving forward, as well as, I guess, people looking to, according to Booking.com, what they're saying is that Hong Kong travellers, about 87% of them, say that they are willing to spend some time on activities that would offset the environmental impact on their stay. So people are just getting more aware and, I guess, more educated when it comes to, you know, taking care of the environment.
Right. And also speaking about awareness, people are now aware that celebrities and all, they're spoiling the whole idea of taking selfies. So that's one more trend that people are going to do without, which is to stop taking selfies when they start traveling.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's getting very passé and it's getting very annoying. It really eats into your experience of traveling when every few minutes, you know, your travel mate want to take a selfie or want to take a photo of you. I think that's going to be a thing of the past. So if you have spent a lot of money investing into a selfie stick, you know, you may be, you know, not using that anymore. There is another article, guys, from the Malay Mail, because this year there are going to be 12 long weekends. I know
Yay.
That Malaysians are very strategic. They plan ahead for this kind of weekends. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what are you guys going to do?
Well, for me, is this going to be taking the kids maybe for a staycation? I like that.
The next one is Thai Pusam, January 21st.
It's this month. Yeah, it's on a Monday.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's a long weekend there.
Staycation is the way to go, guys. I mean,
staycation meaning local travel.
Local travel. Just stay in KL, find a nice hotel with a mall and, you know, take the kids out and, you know, there's a lot of fun there.
But isn't it more expensive when you try to travel during long weekends? The hotels are usually booked and the flights are usually booked by Malaysians. Maybe not so much when you fly overseas because these are Malaysian holidays. But when you go local, a lot of these places would go at a premium.
It really depends because sometimes you can find deals online as well. I think competition's rising. I mean, given, look at KL. So many new hotels have come up in KL City Centre just last year, a couple of months alone.
But
so
why would you stay in the city centre? Wouldn't you try to...
No, because Charlotte's talking about staycation.
Staycation, okay.
So yeah, then you could get a good deal. Depending, for me personally, because my elder started Standard 1, so I'll try and... you know, arrange or try and plan a holiday around the school holidays as well on top of a long weekend. So it really depends. Coming back to your question on price, Julian, nowadays there are just so many deals. Like the airlines, every other time they're like, oh, 30% off.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And if you add Airbnb into that equation, your choices would be unlimited. Okay, it's coming up to the 6:30 news. And after that, we're going to ask the question of whether cars should be given to government officials. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Dancing in the Dark, a great tune there by Bruce Springsteen. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Julian Ng, together with Joyce Goh and Sharis Abdullah. The purchase of new cars for government officials is normal, reads a headline from the Malay Mail. Now, the Negeri Menteri Besar Aminuddin Harun says that the purchase of new cars for some senior Negeri state government officials and state executive councillors was already approved by the previous state government. He said that the purchase of the new Honda Accord cars costing over 2 million ringgit was a normal process and not an issue. Is that something that is this something that we can see eye to eye with, guys?
I don't know. It got me thinking when I read the article, you know, like, okay, so you're saying that this was pre-approved because of the previous state government. So it's normal to purchase these new Honda Accord cars. Firstly, why spend 2 million ringgit? What is wrong with the current cars that the state government has? I mean, that's a question like that I would ask. Is it because they need to be replaced? How old were they? Because cars can last quite a while. I remember my first car was a 15-year-old car. So it really depends on you know, how well you keep and maintain the car. And in this case, do they really need the new cars? I think that's a question that comes into mind. Yeah?
Yeah.
What about you, Sharitz? What do you think?
Well, yeah, I think it's just a matter of being sensitive with the timing. I think, you know, at the moment, there's been a lot of talk going around about the nation's... the nation's wealth,
debt levels and finances and all that.
Exactly. And we're not doing so well. And looking at the circumstances, I think despite it being approved by the previous government, there is an opportunity for them to actually reconsider this decision.
So just looking at it objectively, because government officials are supposed to do their job efficiently, will they be able to serve the public if they have no cars? Okay, and I take the argument that you can use the car as long as possible, but if they are trying to balance out the maintenance cost of an old car,
okay,
and replacing mm-hmm. those cars and to see whether it's cheaper, would it still be okay to spend 2 million bucks to buy Honda Accords?
Yeah, and why Honda Accords? Why not maybe, you know, a Produa or a local car?
I would love to see our ministers or our government officials riding in Produas.
Hashtag support local.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Isn't our Minister of Defense, didn't he used to drive a Produa before he was introduced to the official government's car.
Masabu, you're talking about?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, or a Proton, you know? It's just like, why a Honda Accord? I mean, that's just me. And also, like, they say, okay, it's because the previous state government approved it, so we're just taking the cars. I mean, why be selective of what the previous government has approved? They approved the ECRL. Are we going ahead with it? You know, they've approved a lot of other contracts or other things. So why be selective as to what was pre-approved and what was not. But yeah, in this case, for me, it's just more of how old are the current cars? Are the current cars not being able to be used anymore? As well as why Hondas?
I think if we are talking about government officials from Kuala Lumpur, Selangor, maybe Penang, because they're coming up with the transportation blueprint, then there would be no excuse for ministers. In fact, we should look into the possibility of such officials using public transportation, especially now.
You think they will, though?
No, but that's not the point, right?
What
you want and what is right could be two different things, especially for public policy makers, right? Because right now we have that 100 ringgit unlimited travel. More reason why you should try to support the usage of public transportation. And there is also the environmental factor. And there is also the fact that government departments are very bloated. This really also asks the question of whether you can reduce the number of cars by actually reducing the bloatedness of government departments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also there's that issue to consider whether or not that line before government official misusing public cars, the official cars. I mean, there has been reports over a few months ago, the PKR vice president, Shamsul Iskandar, he was alleged to be misusing the official car that he had.
So if you have any more to say about this or the other issues that we've been talking about today, do WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be coming back with more discussions after this. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that's Jump by Van Halen. It's 6:49, you're with Julian, Joyce and Sharad. The Entrepreneur Development Ministry has approved close to 20 million ringgit in funds to attract private investors to develop the prototype of the third national car. And this is coming from the Malaysian Insight, which is reporting this news. So we continue to have a transportation slant today. And for some reason, a lot of the stories that we're covering today deals with either travel or transportation. And earlier on, we discussed the Negeri state government purchase of Honda Accord new cars for 20 million ringgit. And now another 20 million ringgit is being given by the Ministry of Entrepreneur to develop the third national car. Again, is this something that you guys approve of?
Well, I guess there's always this debate whether or not we need a third national car. And if it does happen, what kind of car would we want to see, right? And I think the government has already said that they're going to open it to public, private initiatives, not public money. So I find it interesting that they're saying that they've approved 20 million to catalyze the national car development. So this 20 million is coming from the public or... Oh, I mean, that's the question out there.
Well, it's government coffers. Mm. And actually, it's quite a small sum, 20 million, all things considered.
Yeah. And again, at the public level, I think there's still a lot of debate whether or not the third car should proceed.
Huge debates.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, they're claiming that this is not about developing third national car. It's just about being a catalyst for new national car projects. So I don't quite get where this claims are.
Yeah, where's this coming from, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And you know, guys, I don't know whether you practice no-buy weeks or no-buy days or no-buy months, right? This is very trendy where...
What's that?
No spend, sorry, not no buy, but no spend, okay. Right? No spend days or weeks or months. And I think this is like a hack to have better finances for your personal life. Mm. But the point is, under this practice of no spend days, it's not really the amount, but it's really the philosophy of how you can do all you can to reach this ideal of totally being very disciplined about your spending. Because when you want to save enough money and or even become wealthy and financially independent, right, you've got to do something really drastic about your life. Same as the Marie Kondo cleaning up all your mess, right? So as far as the government is concerned, it's not about 20 million ringgit here and 20 million ringgit there. It's really about the discipline of devoting resources and money to just things that are absolutely important. Because if you want to retire things like the brim and so on, which, by the way, we spent 7 billion ringgit a year in the past, you know, those are, I feel, money well spent, because it's spent to give directly back to the B40. But 20 million ringgit to encourage the development of the third national car, which has very little chance of survival, I don't know.
And yeah, just again, 20 million to invest on something that you have not been able, you know, you're not able to even get public's complete buy-in yet. I think, yeah, it's a risky place to place your money in.
Yeah, and whether or not there's a plan for this third national car, what's it going to be? Can we succeed or not? Because as it is, we know what happened with Proton. So yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, we have the 7 a.m. news coming up. And in the meantime, this is Hooked on a Feeling by Blue Sweet.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.